Tzava, Yikra, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says, Ukli Cheres, Asher Tevushal Bo Yishaver, Vim Bekli, Bechle Nechoshas, Bushala, Umorak Veshutaf Bamayim. So the question, of course, is, to what extent does this Parsha have anything to do with Chulin? This is talking about Kachim. So we know there are differences. The Pasha Pshat is that there's no obligation, for example, for Shtifa with Chulin. You need Hagala, you don't need Mariko Shtifa. Though we'll see that there is a Minhag, we'll talk about that Minhag and how, what extent it's obligatory to wash off with cold water afterwards, and that might be, according to some, because we try to model it after Kachim. But the Pasha Pshat is that there are Chumras in terms of Hechsher, Kalim in the realm of Kachim, that don't apply to Chulin. For example, we saw a discussion in the Gemara about do we need to do Mariko Shtifa on the whole Kli if it was only Nivla and part of the Kli. That was the Gemara that was Vacham Tzadi Vavam Abes, right? Bishol, B'miktas Kli, Tar Mariko Shtifa, B'kola Kli, or not. And the Gemara concludes, you do need Kola Kli, because it says in Bikli Bushala. And then we saw Beg Machlokas Rishonim about whether that would apply for Chulin, or the Gemara talks about Truma, and what do we learn from there. Some Rishonim, again, we're not going to rehash this whole issue, but some Rishonim said, oh, yeah, you see that from there, the Blios transfer and the like. And others said, no, that was a special din by Kachim, it has nothing to do with us. So we saw that in Simon Tzadi Beis. And there might be other differences. So an interesting question is, to what extent does this first Parsha in Parshas Tzav have anything to do with our halachos? In fact, there are actually some Rishonim that even learn not just from Hechsher Kalim by Kachim, but even from Tumah. This is just an interesting point. Chora, again, it has nothing to do with it. Chora, Hechsher Kalim is all about Blios. And Tumah has its own rules. They don't really have anything to do with each other. But there are a couple of places. I'll just mention two quickly that come up in Tufnun Aleph. One is the Gra on Sif Ches. There's a Machlokas whether it's Shayach to do Hechsher Kalim for stoneware, Kli Evin. Actual oven, not just what's known as stoneware. I think when people talk about stoneware, it's really Kli Cheres. But I'm talking about real stoneware. So if you have real stoneware, so the Gra, there's a Machlokas Rishonim, but the Gra writes over there, Sof Perkei Dekelem, Tanur Shel Evin, Vishal Mat Chais, Tahor. So, just like in terms of Tumah, we put Evan with Mataches, so too with respect to Hechsher. Very fascinating. Another place that this comes up is in the Beis Yosef on Sif Ches. What? That's the point. The question is just like for Tumah, we don't say that Yishaver. So too.
Oh, the Yishaver. Interesting. But it never becomes Tumah.
The Beis Yosef, yeah, in Achanami. The Beis Yosef says in Sif Ches, there he's talking about Kli Etzem. Very fascinating thing. He says, Yikotz Nor Zeruah, Kli Etzem Ein Tzar Chagala, Delo Bali. Okay, that's awesome. And then he says, but one second. Libi nokef ktsas, the ha'amor b'parsha. Now, why does he say that? Because, like we saw, that that there shouldn't be blios. But one second, the pasuk says, v'chol ma'ase izim. Right? Now, where, that's the pasuk, v'chol beged, v'chol kli or, v'chol ma'ase izim, v'chol kli eitz, tischatau. So the Beis Yosef says that from the fact that it says tischatau, that shows that you need hechsher kalim. Now, what does tischatau mean? What's that talking about? It's talking about tumah and the water, you know, paraduma mechatas, right? and he thinks we learn. So, it's an interesting question. Do they have anything to do with each other? Pashup Pshat is they shouldn't, but we have some places where they might. If we had more time, we would talk about why. If you want, there's an interesting makom. If you look at the Cheshek, the Chachma Shlomo, which is on the Gilyon, at least in my Shulchan Aruch and Sivchas, he discusses it. But, of course, the Iker, yeah.
There's no
big
bank in there also, right?
Yeah.
So that happened to be...
Yeah. So he's saying that if it's Mekabel Tuma, so it would need Hechsher. Seems to be making an association between Kabbalah's Tuma and Blios, which is astounding, because they have nothing to do with each other. Tuma is some metaphysical property, I don't know what it is. It's not... But Beis Yosef seems to consider the possibility. There's a Rashi and Psachim that... Anyway, so this is interesting. Are there any relevance? But Pashup Pshat is no, but you have to think about the cases where we might be doing this. Anyway, the main Parsha, of course, in the Torah about Hechsher Kelim, we've already read. Vayomer Lazar Kohen al Anshiyam Hatzava Ba'imam Milchama Zos Chukas HaTorah Shetiva Hashem Es Moshe Achas HaZahav Es HaKesef Es HaNechayshes Es HaBarzel Es HaMdil Es HaFares Kol Davar Sheyavu Ba'esh Taviyu Ba'esh V'Taher. So we said that Taher is referring to Tefillah Mikvah. That was, we've done that already. Ach B'meini Dais Chata. Okay, we also, Tefillah Skelim, we did that already. And then we have Chol Asher Lo Yavo Ba'esh Tavir B'mayim. So, what is this first half of the Pasuk talking about? Chol Asher Yavo Ba'esh Tavir B'esh. So here you have actually a very interesting Machlokas Rishonim as well. Rashi and Ramban understand that Tavir B'esh is talking about Hagala and Liban. This is actually the principle of Kibor Lo Kach Polto. In other words, Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh Tavir Ba'esh means that if it's Al Yedei Roschen, so then you have to do Hagala, and if it's Al Yedei Or, then you have to do Liban. That's the way Rashi reads it. And then what's the end of the Pasuk? V'chol Asher Lo Yavo Ba'esh Tavir Ba'mayim. So here, there's a machlokas between Rashi and Ramban. Rashi says this is another reference to Tefillas Kelim. The Ramban says, no, this is a reference to being Meshafshef B'mayim Yafet Shatasir Chaluda Shenidbeka Mehem Mina Isser Shenishtamish Bahem. That too is a very interesting point. That, first of all, that's considered part of Hechsher Kelim, as we noted before. Right? I would have thought, you know, that if you're just talking about moving mamashos, that's not a din in Hechsher Kelim. Obviously, if you buy kelim from a guy and they still have shamnuna shalisser on it, you have to clean that. I wouldn't have, that's washing your dishes, it's not Hechsher Kelim, right? Maybe the Ramban agrees to that point, and he's saying this is a little more, right? L'chabsam l'shafshefosam b'mayim yafeh ad shetasir chaluda Shenidbeka mehem in a iser shenshamshem. Now, is the pshat over here getting rid of mamashas, or maybe it's something else, right? When we're talking about this chaluda,
what's
chaluda is rust usually.
So it's not actually. Well,
so that's the question. What is he referring to? He says chaluda shenidbeka mehem min ha iser shenishtamish b'hem.
I thought a chaluda is like mamashas, or like a scab from the mamashas.
So one way to read the, a what?
So they're connected. The rust, because there's rust, rust and then there's mamashas under it.
Oh, so we'll see. When we talk about rust, we're going to figure out what the issue is. This is a big machlokas. Is the concern about rust because there might be be'en underneath it, right? Or is it? We'll see in a moment. Rashi, on that pasuk, also, he has it from a different word. He darshans it from es hazahav, which is what the Sefer says, right? Rashi in pasuk chav beis, on the pasuk achas hazahav, Rabbeinu amru, achas hazahav lo mashtach lahavir chaluda shelo kodim shagilanu. Vezel lashon ach, shelo yehe sham chaluda, ach amateches yek moishahu. Now, why is that? And why don't you say kabolo kach polto for rust? Why does it have to be removed? So one possibility is we don't take a bowl of kach polto for rust because maybe there's mamashas underneath it. It rusted over like a little piece of iser. Or not. Maybe fundamentally you have to do it. Or maybe because there were blios before the rust formed. Right? So we'll talk about the halachos of rust when we get to it in the Shulchan Aruch. This is an interesting question. Is Rashi and Ramban saying the same thing, but they're talking about a different, you know, learning it out from different words? Rashi darshans it from Achas Zahav. Ramban darshans it from Kol Asher Lo Yavo Ba'esh Tavir B'mayim? Or no. Ramban is talking about like mamashas of food that clings to the rust, or something like you were saying, Barry, or sorry, I don't know who, one of you, you were saying Hadi, but we're talking about some type of mamashas of food. That's not what Rashi's talking about, right? So we have to figure that out as well. But again, it's interesting that that is part of the process of Hechsher Kelim, and Rashi and Ramban saying the same thing, or saying different things. I don't know if this is exactly the same Shaila, but the Mishnah Brura in Shin Chav Gimel Sif Katan Lamed Zayin writes that Shifshaf HaKli from the Be'en is considered Tikkun Kli and Asar B'Shabbos. It's not like Hadachas Kalim, right? Very interesting. Maybe that's along the lines of what you were saying, right? In other words, there's a difference between washing dishes and getting rid of sort of very hard to remove b'en. The latter is part of Hechsher Kelim, and Memela it's Aser on Shabbos. Anyway, it's an interesting question. The other way to read the Pasuk, though, is, and it's interesting, because this is the way I always read the Pasuk, until I paid attention to what Rashi actually said. But this is also the way the Smag reads the Pasuk, and it's the way the Sefrei reads the Pasuk, at least if you have the Girsa the Gra, which is the first half of the Pasuk is talking about Libun, and the second half of the Pasuk is talking about Hagala. Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh Tavir Ba'esh V'Taher is referring to Libun. If it's Baal Alidei Esh, so then you need Hechsher Alidei Ha'esh. And then the end of the Pasuk, Kol Asher Lo Yavo Ba'esh Tavir Ba'esh, is talking about Hagala. Right? No, that's a different question. That's why Rashi can't be right that Taviru is in the mikvah. But that's not a kash on this pshat. That's a kash on Rashi. Rashi said Taviru.
Why do you say it means Hagala if it's Taviru B'mayim?
I don't know. Rashi says that, Ramban says that Taviru is not Lashon putting it in a mikvah.
So I'm saying, how could Rashi say that it's Hagala if it's also
putting Rashi doesn't say it's Hagala.
Didn't Rabbi just say this?
No, that's the way Sefrei learns and the Smag learns.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How do you read the last words of the Pasuk, Tavir B'mayim? Three possibilities. Rashi, Mikvah. Ramban, scrubbing.
Right.
Sefrei, Hagala. Right? Ramban doesn't even bring up that possibility. Anyway, I'm not... we'll maybe think about if there's differences. Again, one conceptual nafkamin is this question of whether you see the shifshif as part of the Hechsher process or not, which might have practical implications.
So
anyway.
Shifshif is the scrubbing?
Yeah. Now, okay. So, next question we have to figure out. All done with Pesukim. Got that out of the way. Hudi's going to be a Chumash teacher next year, so we have to do a little bit. All right. So now, are you learning Bamidbar?
Shmosan Bar.
Okay. So now, why do you need to do Hechsher Kelim? So, if you think Tom Kicker is Deraisa, so then it's very Pashut. Why you need to do Hechsher Kelim? But if you think Tom Kicker is Lav Deraisa, so why does there need to be a Parsha of Hechsher Kelim? So, there's a technical question answer to this, which is that the Gemara asks, why can't you learn Tom Kicker from Hagalas Kalim? And we answer that question, that's because Gyule Klei Midyan and Chata Sishnei Ksuvim Ban Ke'echad and Ein Melamdin, fine. So that's why we can't learn Tom Kicker from the Mitzvah of Hagalah. But that doesn't answer the question, why in the world do you need a Mitzvah of Hagalah? Right?
Why can't you say Chidsha Torah that in Kelim, if it was used like with
The Rambam says.
Well, okay, so very good. That's an answer. It's a very big chiddush what you just said, but it's a very good answer. So, the Rishon to explicitly address this question is the Ra'ah. In the Bedek Abayis, he asked this question, and he quotes the Ramban as answering, this is a Yud Aleph and Bet Aleph, Dekevan denivla kli mi'isr, af al pisha achshav kishapolet, ein kan elatam, lo yivata el birov, shakli nasar aleinu, mishamayla. Wow. What's the reason? Yeah, it's the same Ramban, really. It's the Ramban is consistent. The answer is, mishamayla.
What?
Mayla. Let's read on. Ulefikach aser pleitaso, kolhecha de chashiva pleita klal. Klomar, deka taima dehave b'shenu mino. Dumya ditvila. Da'atzucha krala kelim chadashim. De mistama tvila da'irai sehi. Mishamayla. Just like tvila's mishamayla, right? Nobody has a havamina. I don't know, havamina. Some people have a havamina. Otherwise, it actually even holds that way. But nobody else thinks that there's any tzad that if you don't do tvilas kelim, the food becomes aser. And yet, you have to do it. Mishamayla, meaning it's a mitzvah. Right? You could say it's like geiras, or the like, whatever you want to say. So too, hechsher kelim. In other words, ala tzad, the tam kickers love deraisa. So what's the point of hechsher kelim? It's a mitzvah. Mishamayla. Mishamayla. That's the reason. It's not because it's going to trafe up your food. It wouldn't trafe up your food. Tom kickers love deraisa.
It's going to connect with the tumor.
That would. Exactly. So
that's
from the Rambam. One second. So that's what the Ra'ah says. The Meiri, and basically this pshat is saying that if you take this approach, basically Hechsher Kalim and Tfilas Kalim are very, very similar. Again, they might relate to different things, but fundamentally they're very similar. The Meiri quotes this pshat in Psachim Mem Gimel on the base, and he says, "Vadvarim dchukim harbe." Okay. Now, one interesting ha'ara on the Ra'ah is why? What difference would there be between kelim that are b'nei yoman and einim b'nei yoman? So maybe in a chanami, maybe there is no chiluk. There's only a chiluk if you hold tankik or deraisa. Then we would say, yeah, you have to kasher kelim that are b'nei yoman, and you don't have to kasher kelim deraisa that are ena b'nei yoman, because then you're not learning it's mishamayla. But once you learn that it's mishamayla, then it doesn't make a difference.
Or you
could say something that you're saying, which is, no, you're saying good words. You have to acknowledge that it's a question, right? And you're saying a very mechudash answer, which is that if it has the capacity to give tam, even if you don't think tam kicker is deraisa, that's when there's that mila. Or, happens to be, if you learn like the Ra'ah, you don't even have to go that far, and this is the Ra'ah, right? Because the Ra'ah thinks that b'lios she'enim ne'yoman armamish pegumim be'etzem. So they're gone. Then there's no mila. Just like you don't have to do hechsher kelim tevilas kelim for a new pot, so too you don't have to do hechsher kelim for an enu ben yomo pot, because there is no mila anymore, because the b'lios are pegumim be'etzem.
He rejects this. The Ra'ah only has to come on to this whole thing because he holds it that they're pegumim be'etzem, but we don't hold that way. So how does this answer our original question? Nobody holds this.
We happen to pass in Tom Kicker's there, I said.
No, I'm just saying.
So we don't need to come on to this practically, but we're trying to understand what is the nature of the
Pshat. Let's say Rashi or something. This is not really accepted. It's smarter than the Ra'ah says.
Accepted by who? As I said, if you're asking Lamaisa, it's not.
Fish.
If you're asking Lamaisa, so Lamaisa, we say Tom Kicker's deraisa. So you don't. The Shiloh doesn't even start. We're trying to understand how do you read the psukim. We know there's an opinion that says Tom Kicker lav deraisa, and he also says that there's a mitzvah of hechsher kelim. So the question is, how do you view that? Now, obviously, it's a practical question if you paskin Tom Kicker deraisa. It's a more non-practical question if you hold Tom Kicker lav deraisa, but it's a question that has to be addressed one way or the other. Do we hold of it? I don't know if we hold of it. As I said, we hold Tom Kicker's deraisa. But it's a very important question regardless of whether it's practical.
And it's possible that the Ra'ah is only saying this because he thinks that Bli Osar Mamash Pagum and nobody really else.
So let's say you hold Bli Osar not Pagumin. Right. So now, how do you explain the opinion of Tom Kicker Lav Deoraisa? How would that view explain understand the idea of Hechsher Kalim? So one possibility is to say Mishamayla, and then you'll ask the question: what about Eino Ben Yomo? And you could answer that since they wouldn't be no Saint Tom Lishvach, so then that Myla is not there. In other words, the Myla is not because of Tom Keiker, but it is because it's no Saint Tom, right? Now, the other possibility, now if you learn like the Rambam, and the Prima Gaddim points this out, this is sort of, I think, what you were alluding to before. If you want to look at it, it's the Sifsei Das Simen Tzadi Gimel. He says that if you learn like the Rambam, that... Again, this question exists for the Rambam. Even though the Rambam sort of holds of Tom Kicker Deoraisa, he would never hold that mid Deoraisa the food would become Aser, because it's only Taimo Mamasho, Kzayas Bechde Achilas Pras, and the like. So, again, the question is, how would the Rambam understand the need for Hechsher Kalim? Mm-hmm. And he understands that, he writes, he quotes the Rambam, Kedera Shalcher Shabisha Ba Nevela, Aser Lavashel Basar Shchuta Bo Bayom. So Ve'eno B'no Saint Tam V'lo Aser Torah Ela Bas Yoyma U'medivrei Sofrim Af Eina Bas Yoyma. So the Rambam holds, at least this is the way the Prima Gaddim learns, that there's an Iser D'Oraisa Lavashel B'Keder Bas Yoyma, even though he also holds that the food would never become usher. In other words, it's an even more, much more far-reaching than this Misham Maila. Or maybe it's the same. But it's, right, that's what comes out from the Rambam, a fascinating idea. And it might relate to, like we were medayik in the lashon of the Rambam, the Rambam's perspective of, you know, he calls Hechsher Kalim Tara Migiulei Akum. But what comes out from the Rambam, it would seem, this is the Prima Gaddim's Diak, a fascinating idea, which is that, again, there is, the Isser depends on whether it will be no Saint Tom, but that's true, even though on a deraisa level it can never aser the food. The iser of hishtamshus bekli is totally on whether it's no Saint Tom or not. Right? That's why it's midoraisa, it's mutter to be mishtamish with a kli she'eino ben yomo. Mm-hmm. Aser for kli ben yomo, even though ben yomo would not actually make it usher to eat the food. Now the other possibility that the Achronim say to explain this, if you don't want to say any of this fancy stuff, though, again, it's not, this is clearly not what the Rambam or the Ra'ar is saying, is you could say, it's Harasha. Now there's those opinions that hold that Tom Kicker's Lav Deoraisa, so we say they don't learn from Hechsher Kalim that Tom Kicker's Deoraisa, and they would just say, yeah, this is a special thing that Elazar said to the people coming back from Midian, you have to kasher Kalim. So Rasha, if you hold Tom Kicker Lav Deoraisa, it would be totally fine nowadays to go ahead and buy Kalim that are treif and use them, and you'd need to be tovel them. Maybe not, but... that's the other way to say it. So again, we sort of have three possibilities. One possibility is it's a Rasha. I didn't know any Rishonim that say this explicitly, but it's certainly a possibility. The Achronim say it. Another possibility is it's Maila. And another possibility is it's Din of the Rambam, which might be the same thing. But you have here a very fascinating idea, the way the Prima Gaddim says it, is that it's a Din L'chatchila Midoraisa. Right? almost like lechatchila, you have to be choshish for tam kicker midoraisa. Almost like ein mevat lenasa lechatchila, something like that. Now it's not the time to go into it, but there's a big discussion. The Achronim make a big deal out of it, but it does come up in a number of Rishonim explicitly whether there is such an idea of lechatchila as midoraisa or not. Yeah. Lots of very interesting discussions. This is an important marmakum. This Rambam is an important marmakum in that discussion of lechatchilas deraisas. But we're not going to have a chance to do that now. Lechatchila, you have to be kasher kasher midaraisa. But the avid, if you didn't, it doesn't ask for the food. So that's a question. Is it because it's a mila, it's like a mitzvah, and you're being mevatel the mitzvah? Or the pshat is you have to be chosh for blios or tam kikker, lechatchila should be avoided. I'm saying it's not clear. There's a lot of ways you could formulate it. I don't think we have time now to work out the details and think of rayos. There might be. There are a number of certainly different conceptual possibilities how to understand this. Is the Rambam and the Ra saying the same thing, something different? A lot, very interesting to think about. But again, I think we have to go on. Yeah?
Why is it Shayach HaGzeira if you hold it's just a Maila? I don't remember if the Shmeres talks about that.
That's not a problem, because Midirabbanan, we hold of Tam Kicker. You're saying it's a Gzeira L'Gzeira? No.
Did I just say the Miri again?
I didn't say any Miri. I just said the Miri said the Ra is Dochak.
Oh. I thought you said like maybe the Miri is the same as the Rambam.
Oh, I meant Ra, I'm sorry. I said the wrong word. Okay. You know, a very related question to this is whether it's a mitzvah. Is Hechsher Kelim a mitzvah or not? Again, if you hold it's Tom Kicker and the like, so then you'll probably say it's not a mitzvah at all. If you want to eat your food behechsher, so then you'll have to do Hagala. There are some Monet mitzvahs to count it, the smak, for example, mitzvah kuf tzariches. And again, maybe if you took a ra'ah type mahalich, you'd be more likely to count it as a mitzvah. Most of the Monet mitzvahs do not count it as a mitzvah. Now, if you just think that, you know, this is a source for a tam kicker, so that's the pshat. The pshat is that we don't count it as a mitzvah because there is no separate mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat, you know, you can't eat non-kosher. And this is a giloy that the food becomes non-kosher, could become non-kosher, the like. Yet,
why can't it still be a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to do it, even though like a special
mitzvah. So you're bringing up a good point, which again we don't have time to go into now. Which is what qualifies as a mitzvah, the like. So one is a question of should it be counted among tamei mitzvos or not, and the question is if you have like an inyan, shechita is an interesting example. But if you basically just see this, Hechsher Kelim, as basically saying, the Torah is telling you how to use Kelim in a way that your food will still remain kosher, so presumably you would not count that as a mitzvah. Because it's just telling you, an Eitz HaTov, I'm telling you, there's this principle called Tam Kicker, right? Which means that if you're kosher food tastes like non-kosher food, it's aser to eat. And the Torah is also telling you an eitzah. So what should you do if you want to make sure that the non-kosher pots that you buy are not going to make trafe up your food? I'll tell you an eitzah. Kol she'avo ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. This is a way of, right? So if you look at it that way, so it's probably not going to be counted as a mitzvah. Tvilas Kalim is different. Tvilas Kalim, if it's deraisa, probably is mishamayil. It is a mitzvah. Why wouldn't it be counted? Probably the reason why Tvilas Kalim wouldn't be counted as a mitzvah, if you don't count it as a mitzvah, is either because you don't think it's deraisa or you think it's not mefurish bakra, doesn't reach that criteria. This is, you could say the same thing here, but here it is much more mefurish bakra, right?
it's because of tumah, so you can look at it. No, I just want to get rid of the tumah that's on the screen.
What tumah? The pasuk's not talking about tumah. The pasuk is like the Rambam says, tumah doesn't go away by fire. You could read the pasuk al pi pshat, even Rashi points this out, as having nothing to do with tvilas kelim, right? The pasuk says b'mei nida yischata. That means mechatas. That means paraduma, right? But how do you read kol asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh is talking about tumah? That's what the Rambam says. There's no. We never heard of fire being metahir something from tumah. So elamai, the pshuto shel mikra is definitely talking about hachshir kelim. So then why wouldn't it be a mitzvah? Well, the answer is very simple. Because it's not a mitzvah. It's a procedure that you could do to make sure your kelim don't asir up your food. Right? So again, it's going to, this question of how you look at the this, do you see it more as a mitzvah or do you see it as just a process to an Eitz HaTova, will depend on all these questions. Again, we're not going to answer these questions, just things to think about when considering this mitzvah. Right? It might come up, for example, do you make a bracha? Do you make a bracha? So there's an Isser V'Heter that says like this, Uma shemevarchen ala tvila, v'lo al hagala, hainu mishum, shatvila hi mitzvah sase, v'agala mitzvah lo sase, shelo lechol nevelos. Right? In other words, he's making the point that I just said. Hechsher kelim and tvilas kelim are totally different. Tvilas kelim is a mitzvah. Why do you do tvilas kelim? Everybody agrees that's Misha Maila, right? Torah says you need to do tefillas kelim, gevaldik. So you make a bracha on it. Why not? Right? We talked about, I don't know if we talked about it, maybe we didn't. It's a shaila to the Rambam hold of a bracha for tefillas kelim. But we certainly, halacha l'maisa, do make a bracha on tefillas kelim, right? Why? Because it's a mitzvah. We don't make a bracha on hechsher kelim. Why? Because it's not a mitzvah. What is it? It's an eitzah. It's, you know, just like there's no bracha, like he says, shelo lachol nevelos. We don't make a bracha shelo lachol nevelos. It's a lo sa'aseh. So too, it's not, you know, this is just bechlal, the iser. The Torah said, don't eat nevela, which memela means that if you're going to buy a pot from a non-Jew, you have to do hechsher kelim. That's what the iser v'heter says. So you tell me why. We're learning Shechita, we'll talk about the Bracha Shechita. It's a very important question to ask. And it gets into the Lamdas of Shechita. But sadly, they took Shechita out of the curriculum. So what can we do? It's a good question. We don't usually make Brachos on Lavim. We do make a Bracha on Shechita. What does that mean? Right? So, it's a very good question. And we know Shechita also is sometimes mitzvos and relates to the question and the relationship between Shechita by Kachem and Shechita by Chulin, and a lot of very fascinating things, but alas, not for now. Now the Orchos Chaim, the Rima Lunil, says something different. He says, Tam lama ein mevarchin al hagala keshar ha-mitzvos mishum de'evshar l'shtamushe bekelem chadashim ve'ein sarach lahagi ilhani kelem nimtzu delav mitzvah hi l'shtamish bahem. Fascinating. Right? You don't need to use these kelim, so you don't make a bracha. Now, I don't know why you would make a bracha on tefillas kelim, according to that. But clearly, he's not saying like this is v'heter, right? And it's not a mitzvah chiyuvi, because you don't use these kelim, and that's the reason why you don't make a bracha. Yeah, what were you going to say? You have a pshat in that?
I think that's to do with machlokas, meaning, for example, do you make a bracha on like my machronim or on nativa bein tashilim? It's a very similar discussion. If you're just avoiding isser, the rabbi still says you make a bracha on that if it's a proactive action. That's clear with the Orchos Chaim things. That's the reason why it's different to this game. To this game, if you didn't need the kelim, you would still make a bracha.
Oh, because that's a very interesting possibility, right? In other words, we didn't talk about this in Tfilas Kelim because we ran out of time, but if tefillas kelim is a mitzvah, so if you're not planning to use the kli, is it still a mitzvah? Or would we say zrizin makdimin for tefillas kelim? Like, I don't need this kli for a long time. I have a friend, so we kept on seeing in Tefillas Kelim that like there's a million times where you say Tovah without a bracha. So some poskim say, and the Shach says this, as you pointed out explicitly, I think Sifkat and Hay,
yeah,
right, that you should try to be Tovah with something with a bracha. Why? You don't want to lose the bracha. Relates to a very broader question, but today we're not talking about broader questions, about is there anything wrong with doing a mitzvah without the bracha? Well, no, in other words, let's say you can't make a bracha for some reason, maybe because of safek or whatever it is. Is it aser to do a mitzvah without a bracha?
Or
not appropriate. No, better maybe, some poskim say, better not to do the mitzvah. Well, no, me'ila is by achila. Aser lanos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha.
The Rambam says you're asking rishus.
So that Rambam's an important makor in this discussion. Anyway, it's an interesting question, but again, not for now. But that's the question. So anyway, so it sounds like, at least from that shach, maybe Rabbi wanted to argue, the shach only says that in places where really he thinks mikra adin, you should make a bracha, but because of safek brachos were being machmir, so you should try to avoid it. But let's say you should try to avoid it. Anyway, so my friend he bought a box of forks. Because there's so many suffix things. So he bought a box of forks, and every time he has a suffix tefillah thing, he pulls out one of the forks and is tovel it, so that we could always make a bracha.
Better not to use a fork.
Right. You're saying point to a boshe, you don't need to make a bracha on a fork. Maybe it was a spoon. I don't remember.
Say al tefillas kelim if
it's only one? You could always say kelim, right? In other words, Nevardik, even when they were tovel, one bracha, one thing. So you could say kelim. You could say kli, it's done in amaki. Anyway. So it was a great eitzah, beautiful eitzah, but maybe he's being mevatel the mitzvah. This reason makdimin, right? Or do we say, no, it's only bitul mitzvah to use the kli without tefillah? There's no reason. So this question comes up here in tefillas kelim as well. And that gets back to the Or Chos Chaim, right? In other words, what Rabbi's pointing out is how much of this machlokas between Or Chos Chaim and the Yisr V'Heter is a machlokas about brachos, and how much is it a machlokas about Hechsher Kelim? Is the pshat that the Or Chos Chaim sees Hechsher Kelim more of a mitzvah, or is the pshat that he says that any time you have to, there's a maisa to do to prevent Isser, but it's a proactive act, so that makes a bracha. So interesting, Shaila. And, you might even say this relates to how you read the psukim in the end of that pasuk. Anyway, all right.
Is it that they said it's not a mitzvah?
Yes. Correct. Okay. Fine. I guess we have to actually start talking about Hechsher Kelim. So the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, Tanu Rabbanan alokeh klei tashmin and all the kuchavim. Dvar shel shamash ben matbil an vein toyrin. Dvar shel shamash ben maide or tzonein v'chulei. And basically we have our favorite rule of kibbo'o lo kach polto. Good? So the question is, what's pshat in this principle of kibbo'o lo kach polto? How far does it go? What do I mean to say? One way to understand Kabbalah Kach Palto is that it's only said with respect to the category of Hechsher. If this is something that you cook with, that you use with a Kli Rishon, so then you need a Galav Kli Rishon. If it's a Iroi, so then Iroi. If it's a Tashmish Al Yedei Or, so then you need Libun. Or, perhaps, it's going further. That Kabbalah Kach Palto means the way in which the blios came in, that's the way they'll come out. And we could say this lakula or lachumra. So let me give you some examples where this shaila comes up. One, you see right at the very beginning of our simon, in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Torah, when you do hagala, so we say it has the status of a kli rishon, even a shalal yedei or. So let's say this became treif with kli rishon al haor. Can you do hagala in a kli rishon shalal yedei or? Right? The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch both say, at least with respect to knives, you can. As we don't say, as long as it's roschin, it's good enough. We don't say, well, since the hishtamshus was al yedei haor, so then you need the hechsher to be al yedei haor. Let me give you another example. The Gemara later on by the Gedamfa. So the Gemara said, how do you do hagala? So if it's a small pot, very simple. You go ahead and you put in a big pot. What if it's a big pot? So this is a big problem. Why? Because what about nitzotzos? What do I mean to say? That sometimes it like splatters on the top, or like the lip of the kli. So the Gemara said that a kavya had this einfald. Right? Mamash, he was a chacham. What does he do? He made this gedanfa. What was that? He made like a lip of dough that he put around the top of the pot, and that worked. The Gemara says, "Kasaver kibolo kach polto, ma bolo benitzotzos, af polto benitzotzos." In other words, here you see kibolo kach polto being used in a much more specific way. Since the blio shalisser were al yedei nitzotzos, so too you could kasher it al yedei nitzotzos. In other words, this gedanfa, it's not like, you know, it's not like the gedanfa like raised the level of the pot another inch and then it did hagala. It's not.
Yeah, wasn't what was the material?
You put a, you have a pot. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to kasher the top of the pot? Right? So let's say you filled the pot to the top with water. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, this is the way Rashi reads it, sometimes when you cook, nitzotzos will go to the lip of the pot, right? And sometimes you don't. Let's imagine one out of every five times there are nitzotzos. If I just do hagala, so maybe this time there won't be nitzotzos. But when I, but they're going to be blios from the nitzotzos, right? So what he said was, if you put this gedanfa, you could sort of raise the water level a little bit higher, and that will kosher the top through nitzotzos. So what I said is, you see from here a very important klal, which is we're applying kibolo kach poto in a specific way. We're not just saying, okay, there's kibolo kach poto, that means either kli rishon or iroi or libun. No. If the iser use was al yedei nitzotzos, so too you could be machshir al yedei nitzotzos, which is significant.
I don't understand.
But Lemaisa, we don't say this so far. Let me give you an example. I'll give you some now practical example. So let's say you have a pressure cooker. So pressure cooker is mamish, right? The temperature inside the pressure cooker gets up to be 300 degrees.
What is a pressure cooker?
Ay, vey. So out of it. So ask the Shaila today about a new type of pressure cooker. It was a Tfilos Kalim Shaila, though. About, it's called Instapot. It's anyway, pressure cookers are like this. Water boils at 212 degrees. So you can't get it hotter than 212 degrees, right? So now, let's say you want to cook chicken soup. So it takes 4 hours to cook chicken soup, right? Because you can't get it hotter than 212 degrees. Let's say you could get your chicken soup up to 500 degrees. So it would take you like 15 minutes to cook chicken soup. It's geschmack, especially in the summer. You want like insta suppers, right? So what you do is you don't just cover your pot, but you make the cover stick on tight. You screw it tight, right? Now there's pressure. Under pressure, water could get much hotter than 212 degrees, right?
Very dangerous.
So that was the chop of Instapots. In the olden days, pressure cookers were dangerous. But with Instapot, all the danger is taken out. I've never actually seen one today, but I looked at the video when I was trying to answer a Shiloh. Anyway, so So that's a pressure cooker. So let me ask you a shayla. Maybe we'll say Kabbalah. Can you do regular Hagala to cooker your pressure, kasher your pressure cooker, right? Or, let's say you sometimes do deep frying, right? You do deep frying, right? You could do deep frying, you don't even need a deep fryer. You do it in your regular pot. You fill it with oil, like 2 inches high. How hot does oil boil at? Well above 212, right? So the oil is going to be 400 degrees. So can I just do Hagala for kashering it? The answer to both those questions, Shlomo Zalman Orabacha says it's fine. Right? Others, he's saying, nah, Kabbalah kach palto, but still, we look at the categories. If this is Kli Rishon is good enough. Right? And we don't say, wow, it was a Kli Rishon that was 400 degrees. No. Kli Rishon. Right? Now.
So why do we care about the Nitzotos?
Oh, so, interesting Shiloh. What is the Nitzotos saying? So maybe that's a Kula. It's saying like this. Since it only got non-kosher al-day Nitzotos, we're going to be makel to allow Nitzotos to kasher it. But as a Chumrah, you can't get more than Kli Rishon. Once you have Kli Rishon, that's always going to be good enough unless it's Tashmish al-day Or. Right?
Meaning it could be that more than Nitzotos got there, a full thing got there or something?
Oh, everybody's going to agree that...
According to Shlomo Zalman, just a regular Hagala, why don't you think that...
You can't fit it in a big pot. How are you going to do regular Hagala?
You fill it up with water.
But you're not guaranteed that there's going to be Nitzotos this time that you cook it.
You don't need that. You need regular...
How do you kosher the lip, right? This thing. If I fill this up, this pot, so will there be Hagala on this part? No. Right. Sometimes there'll be Nitzotos that fly off it, onto it, right? So how are you kosher it? So that's the point. So if I could make sure that there are Nitzotos now, so just like it was Bole Isra Alidei Nitzotos, it could have Hagala Alidei Nitzotos. That's a Kula. Maybe you need Hagala.
Or bigger foot.
Yeah. Or to do more than Nitzotos. Like we usually, I've never kashered with a Gedanfa. The way most people kasher nowadays is by putting in a boiling stone to cause it to boil over. That's much better than a gedanfa, right? Now, why, Akavia didn't want to do that? Because he didn't want to make a big mess, I assume. There's an easier way to do that than with a boiling stone, by the way. The etzah to do it when you want to kasher a big pot is to take a smaller pot, fill it with water, doesn't have to fill the whole way, and then, like a saucepan with a handle. And then you take it and you put it into... The big pot's boiling. And then you could just slowly lower it in. And that'll cause it to go over. And that way you don't have to bother with hot stones. Because hot stones could be dangerous.
We're not worried about the outside of the kli.
Well, you tell me. So far, we haven't seen anything about the outside of the kli. Now, why wouldn't that be a problem? You're saying Kabbalah kach palto, right?
No, I was saying...
That how did it go in, goes out? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll get there. You'll see that, right? But we talked about that. We even talked about that, remember, the Torah and the Rashba, all about Mixas Kli and Kol Kli. Remember? That's when we did this Magen Avraham already. The Torah, the Magen Avraham. No, you don't remember? The Machlokas Rashba and Ra'ah, Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph. We talked about that in the Belios of the Kli, one way, two ways. Ah, it's good you took the Bechina. Yeah.
We'll get there.
If you haven't gotten there yet, we'll get there. We'll talk about it. Now, this brings us to a very important question, which is Bolo Kibolo Kachpoto Alide Libun. Right? How does Libun work? So Rashi writes, Kol asher yavo ba'ish shenishtamish bo b'nei Midyan alidei ha'or taviro ba'ish ke'en ba'alo le'iser yaflitanu k'de amran k'ba'alo kach polto. Now, what's very significant about that line? He says ke'en ba'alo le'iser yaflitanu. It sounds like the way Libun works is the same idea. K'ba'alo kach polto. What does the word polto mean? We've had that the whole year. It's polate the blios. right? Kibolo kachpolto. So if it was boalo al yidei ha'or, so it's going to be maflit al yidei ha'or. So Rashi seems to say that we do say kibolo kachpolto even for blios, even for libun. Fine. Unless you just say it's a little lav dafka, he just means, well, no, the category of hechsher kelim has to be or, because kibolo kachpolto. But if we read Rashi b'meduyak, it sounds like even by libun, it is actually kibolo lo kachpolto. Now, it's a little interesting, because Rashi, on later on, in Ayin Vav Amid Aleph, Dimas HaMagilan, writes, lo chashiv kelibun, de libun soyref esakli. There it sounds like the way libun works is through sreifa, right? Not because of bolo kachpoto, burns up the blios. So which one is it? Is it through burning up the blios? That's how libun works? Or does libun work for kibolo kachpoto? Or maybe both are true. It's polate them, but then where do they go? They're burnt out. Right? In other words, when you do Haggalah, so how does kibolo kachpolto work? First, it's maflit the blios, and then they go into the water. Right? And then that's why you dump out the water, and you have to just make sure they don't go back in, or if they do, their shishim, all those issues. So anyway, this is a big machlokas haposkim. And we'll see, it's one of the most practical shailas. Right? The Gemara says, and Ayin Vav Amid Aleph, how hot do you need it to be for libun? Right? Ad kama milabnan, amr of mani, ad shetasir klipasan. So, the outer layer is removed. Now, pasha pshat, that doesn't mean that the hechsher is through removing the outer layer, because then the rest of the kli is still going to be full of blio shalisser, right? You wouldn't be able to use it anymore. Certainly you wouldn't be able to use it for cooking, right? So, presumably that means that when it gets so hot that the outer layer is removed, then any blios are going to be burnt up and won't be there anymore. Now the Rush quotes a different shir from the Yerushalmi. It says, "Ad shiyu nitzotzos minatzin mimenu," that the sparks fly out from it. And you also have, but the Rush quotes both Lashonos, right? And you see them also in the Beis Yosef and the like. And the impression you get is that this is the same shir. This is the same shir. Meaning to say there aren't two different shirim, and nobody says it's a machlokas bavli and Yerushalmi. Rather, it's the same shir. And Rabbi Tendler pointed out that that's exactly the pshat. That's the metzias. Why are nitzotzos flying out from this? Because the outer layer is being burnt off. That's what the sparks are, apparently. If only Matt was here, he could help us out with this. But that's what Rabbi Tendler said. Now, parenthetically, you might ask a practical question, which is, like, we all do libun in a self-cleaning oven, so have you ever seen sparks flying out? So the answer is you don't. So what's the basis for assuming a self-cleaning oven that reaches, let's say, 900 or 1,000 degrees is considered libun gamur if it does not emit sparks? So the answer is because, and the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed this out, and this is, we accept this, is that only iron will emit sparks, but not the type of alloys that we use. And also only if they're in direct contact with the fire. So the reason why self-cleaning is libun gamur is that if you let it run for the full time that it's supposed to do, so will have a more tangible effect than even libun gamur does. So even though it doesn't actually reach the temperature of libun gamur, it's a bit of a chiddush that we assume it's lakula, but it has an even more potent effect than libun gamur because it's done for such an extended period of time, and that's why it will burn away any ben as well as any blios and the like.
Wait, we're saying it's the same as libun because it's just not with coming into contact with fire?
It has the same effect or even a more potent effect than actual libun, even though there's no sparks. You'll never see sparks apparently, with the types of alloys that we use. We have very, you know, the metals that we have are much more sophisticated than the ones that they were using in those days. Nothing is pure, and that's why they stay hard and things like that. Bleos, as we've talked about. Anyway, but that's the shear for Liban. Great.
So, like you stack this up clean early. Like you just, it gets that temperature.
The poskim say that when you want to do Liban Gamor for a self-clean oven, you should do the whole thing, whatever it takes, 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly when the shear is reached and how long it takes. So that's why the poskim say you should do the whole thing. Okay, now. It happens to be that you're not really supposed to be able to even stop the self-clean in the middle. Right? The reason why to self-clean the metzias, it takes 3 or 4 hours, is because if you just bring it up to that temperature and you stopped, so it wouldn't burn it out, it wouldn't clean it. Self-clean cleans because of this reason. In fact, when you use a self-clean oven, you'll see the bleos. When you take it, I always thought that you can never taste bleos these days, but you could see bleos. Because if you put your things into a self-cleaning oven, and you put them in totally clean, like your racks, your oven racks, and then you take them out of the self-clean oven, you'll see ashes on them, like these white little ashes. And those are, I don't know what they are, bleos, but they're basically bleos. In other words, there were things in here that you might not have seen that were actually burnt up when it's done. So anyway, so that's the shear, right? Good. So we have 2 shiurim, either one, either shear is good enough. Now, the Prima Gadim says, why do you need this? Because it's dafka in the shear that that the bleos are burnt up. Sounds like he might even think that's what the sparks are or the like. But the way he describes the metzias, this is the Prima Gadim Or Chaim Siman Tafnun Aleph, Eshel Avram Sifkat Lamed. The way he describes the way Hagala Liban works is burning up the bleos. And Rav Moshe is of this opinion as well, Yordei Chelek Aleph Siman Samech. And he says that's why the Shulchan Aruch did not write Kefi Tashmishan Hachsheiran when it comes to Liban, only when it comes to Hagala. Because we don't say Kibol Lo Kach Palto for Liban. What do I mean to say? The question is like this. The question is, if I know that I've only used my oven maximally 550 degrees. Why? Because it can't get any hotter. So maybe I should kosher it also at 550 degrees. Why? Kibol Lo Kach Palto. But Rav Moshe says, and the Prima Gadim seems to assume as well, no, absolutely not. Kibol Lo Kach Palto, that's a principle that said when it comes to kashra salidei water. Right? Goes in this way, goes out this way. That's how Hagala works. That's not how Liban works. Liban works through burning up the bleos. And that's why Rav Moshe says, I'll bring you a Gevaldik Rayam right. Because we know you could basically do Liban for Kli Cheres. Now the Torah said, Torah Ida, shall Kli Cheres bleos never leave. And yet you could do Liban. So sometimes you saw the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't allow you to do it because we're afraid del Mapaki and the like. You won't actually do it properly. You'll stop it prematurely. But the Metzias is, and that's why Achzara L'Kivshonos works, that you can do Liban on Kli Cheres. Aye, the Bleos don't ever leave. Yeah, they don't ever leave. But they're burnt up. By the time you're done the Liban, what happened to your Bleos? They're ashes. They're garnished. So now it makes sense. But now, it makes perfect sense, Rav Moshe says, why? I can't go ahead and do Liban on my oven at 550 degrees. Because it's true that my oven never got hotter than 550. But the bleos don't burn up till 900, or whatever the shear is, let's say 900 degrees, right? So if they don't get burned up till 900 degrees, doing Liban at 550 is nothing. It doesn't accomplish anything. I didn't do Hagala, and anyway Hagala doesn't work because it's Tashmish Olidei Or, and I didn't do Liban. Doesn't work.
What is this, a Metzias point?
It's a Metzias and a Halachic point. And he asks about that Rashi that I showed you. Rashi does say Kibol Lo Kach Palto by Liban. He says it's Lav Dafka.
Okay.
And as we noted, even within Rashi, there's a bit of a stira. So, that's the Mahalik of Rav Moshe. However, and that's a big deal, right? Because that means you went move into Washington Heights, and the previous owner of your apartment wasn't Jewish. So you want to kosher your oven. But there's a problem. There's no self-clean in Washington Heights. So, what do you do? According to Rav Moshe, you're stuck.
Get a blowtorch.
You can. Blowtorches are hard to do for this because you can't. You have to make sure you get every spot on the blowtorch. You can't just, like, if you miss spots. So you have to really do it very methodically. Also, it warps it if you don't do it methodically. Mm-hmm. You could fill your oven up with coals. I know someone that did this.
Well,
yeah, because it'll get hot enough if you fill it up with coals. No, you put coals in the oven. You put a bunch of coals, like charcoal, in your oven, and then you turn the oven on. No, but it gets hot enough. You have to actually take out your oven thermometer when you do it, because it'll burn it up. It doesn't explode. The person who I know did this, they forgot to tell him that it makes the oven, the walls in your house black. Which was a shame, because you just moved in and they just painted the walls. It was a little more intense in the kitchen than it was in the living room. So make sure you have very good ventilation if you're going to try this. But that's what Rav Moshe says. Now, Agav, it's interesting, because remember, you could say, why does Rav Moshe need this? Rav Moshe is not worried about Zaya.
In an oven.
But you say, what about liquids, right? You could say like this. One second. I don't have an answer to this question. We paskin that you could be mitzdarif libun kal with rov tashmisho. So rov tashmisho of the oven doesn't have zeya. So why can't you be mitzdarif that and say then libun kal would work and the like? But for some reason, Rav Moshe doesn't say that.
Libun kal is just below that temperature.
We'll talk about what Libun kal is. We haven't gotten there yet. But anyway, good. So anyway, not everybody agrees with Rav Moshe about this. Is everybody leaving because we're out of time already? Okay, listen very carefully. We're going to have to do this very quickly. So the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Gimel Simen Samech Vav, says no. That we do say Kibbol Lo Kach Polto for Libun as well. And he has a couple of rayos, but one of them is from the Chuvos Maimonios and the end of Hilchos Machos Asuros, Simen Hei. Something like this is quoted in Beis Yosef, but look at it inside. It's talking about there, about kashering an oven, and he says that Kibbol Lo Kach Polto works. And he says that that's what the Almanas Hari was made. Shabayla lohaya moicha biyadam, when they would do basically Hagala, when they would do Libun, when they would do the Ri, not the Ari. Ri Bal Toisvis. Rak hayu mesikim kederacha ofim. In other words, they should do Hasaka, and they would say, Hasaka works, kibbol lo kach polto, to kasher an oven. And he writes, that's what they would be knowing, Bebeis Rabbeinu Meir, Zikeni, and Beis Maras Miriam Baspito Shrebi Shlomo. Mamish, the granddaughter of Rashi, was Mekel like the Rav. The Rav is, of course, the most famous one to say this. See, it's not 100% perfect Rai from there, because there it's talking about a Terabal. It's talking about going from Milchiks to Fleishiks. And we'll see there are certain kulas for a terabal, but the lashon, the Minchas Yitzchak points out, the lashon of the Hagos Maimonios sounds like it's because of Kibbol Lo Kach Polto, and it work either way.
And you believe that from Rashi?
No, from the Eidos about Rashi's granddaughter.
I'm wondering, is that because of the
Diag
of Rashi?
Maybe. You could say it's consistent with Rashi,
right.
But they didn't. What about Rav Moshe's Raya from Kli Charis? So you could say Panim Chadash is Baolakan, but you could say much more simple, which is that Libun might do both things. In other words, we're not denying that it's Sarif the Blios, which would also explain the other Rashi. It does, but it also works Alidei Kibbol Lo Kach Polto. Now, this Machlokas between Rav Moshe and Minchas Yitzchak is really an explicit machlokas we've shown in a number of places, and I'm going to tell you quickly where, but we don't have time to do it now. In Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, so we already saw that there's a big machlokas harishonim whether we say Kibbol Lo Kach Polto to kasher a kli al yedei libun. Right, the lashon of the Tur and also the Ramah is like this. Aval le'inyan achshera lo al achshera chiyachshir kulo bein le'inyan hagala bein le'inyan libun ad kan. That was ad kan the Rashba, says the Tur and the Ramah more or less. Venerally, davka shenishdamish bekulo avalim yodeya shelo nishdamish al b'miktsaso nichshar nami miktsaso dekabolo kachpoto. So the Ramah and the Tur both say that if you only use the kli halfway, you could kasher it both al yedei libun and hagala, because kabol lo kach poto. Now he's applying that to libun. Sounds like we do say kabol lo kach poto even for libun. However, the shach denies this, and he says it can't be. It doesn't make any sense. This also gets into the machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah over there. The Mishnah Berurah also has a mashmos that way, because he writes, by Libun, we also say Kabbalah Lokach Poto, that's in Sifkat M'chav Zayin. Again, the Igros Moshe says it's Lav Dafka. If you take a look at the Rashban, the Ra'an, and the Mishmar Sabayis, you'll see this issue discussed. But I guess we don't have time. It also comes out how you understand that first opinion in Sivvav and in Kuf Chaf Aleph. If you remember, we had that gra, we had the two gras. Remember, we talked about the steer and the gras. All right, we don't have time to do that. We'll pretend we did it when we did Basim Chalav, which we did a little bit. Fine. But anyway, that's the big nafkamina in terms of our ovens, right? It depends who you ask. In the Velt, I think they're more choshish for Rav Moshe. Around here, they're more, they follow the Rav. Now, there are other tzadim. We call it the Rav school of Kabbalah Lo Kach Poto. So if you know your oven only reached 550, then you run it at 550, run it at the highest temperature for a while, and we'll say Kabbalah Lo Kach Poto. Obviously, first you should wait till Tzeinu Ben Yomo, and you should clean it out from the Ben as well as you can. Use a caustic cleaner, use Easy Off and the like. Don't use it for 24 hours, and then you could kasher it. And there are a couple other tzirufim. When it comes to Pesach, you could throw in that many Rishonim hold it's a terabala. So that's a little bit. Yes, it's also. And the truth is that, as we saw, even when there's a whole discussion of what Zaya anyway from Mashkim, is it like that, and things spilling and the like, I don't know if we would follow the Rav. We're machmir for like broiler trays, I think. We wouldn't kosher them, because then you don't have the other sniffim of Zaya. So I think that's the that's around here. Many people are mako on that shaila, both for Pesach and for if you get your house from a non-kosher person. But again, Rav Moshe says for Pesach you need to get an oven insert.
Is it a machlokas mitzias? I don't understand, because
no, it's not. It's not.
Are those being burnt up, or are they coming out by
Chares? How does do we say kibbalah lo kach polto for libun? In other words, do we say that since the way the blios came in was through usage of the oven at 550 maximally, so however they came in, they come out?
I just don't understand what the nekudas hamachlokas is.
The nekudas hamachlokas is, do you say kabbalah lo kach polto or not?
Why not? We saw that the tzitzis according to Moshe is they burnt up. According to Mitzvot, they're not being burnt up, they're taken out. I just don't understand. Like, that's it? That's the machlokas? Metzias.
No. It might have some metzias.
We don't. Metzias.
Then everything is a metzias machlokas. That's not like the way we learn. Right? We have a principle, and the question is this principle apply to Libun or not? Now, you're right, there's a metzias ramifications. One question is, how does Libun work? Is just sorif and makoman, or does it cause them to come out and then get burnt? Right? But all those, you're right. There's a metzias machlokas, but you're never going to be able to solve that metzias machlokas. It's not at all. This is a klal. We have this principle of kibbalah lo kach polto. The question is that the way which, we know that's the way Hagala works. Is that the way Libun works? Or no, Libun is fundamentally different. Libun works through being sorry for the Blios. It's not kibolo kach polto. It's rather, when do Blios get burnt up? When they reach a certain temperature, 900 degrees, let's say, 800 degrees maybe. Is that the way Libun works? Or is the way Libun works similar to Hagala? If the Blios went in this way, they could go out that way. And therefore, as long as you have kibolo kach polto...
Why would you deny the second? Why does Rav Moshe deny the second? Meaning...
There's a lot of rayos that way. Again, that...
That it just doesn't work. Once it was ideal, or it just doesn't come out until...
Right. But again, so one gevaldik raya, as he says, is kli cheres.
Yeah, that's not a raya, like Rabbi said, that's not a raya that it doesn't usually kibolo kach polto, but kli cheres doesn't, because kli cheres maintains its view.
Yeah, but then you start off to say it could do two things. But anyway, take a look at the tshuva. No.
It does two things, kli chadash, and it has to be...
No. That's a shaila. Which one is it? How does it work? Is it out?
You can't not take away wheels, or else you're eating it.
That's an interesting question.
That's what we're talking about.
But let's assume
you thought. I think we're having.
Yeah. Let's assume
it's doing both. Somehow it's doing both. You can't say it's only making chadash.
Let's say you're right. Good. So that's great for Rav Moshe.
It's great for Chassidim too.
No, it doesn't. How do we know? That once we know that Libun works through being sorry for the Blios, is there any evidence that it also takes them out? What evidence do you have for Kibolo Kach Polto? Once you've proven that there's Libun, it's a klal that we have for Hagala. Where do you find that klal for Libun? Libun, we always describe Sreifa. So how do you know that it happens to be that two things happen? Right? Take a look at the Tshuva. Take a look.